WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon, hundreds more rockets were fired today. Israeli Air Force fighter jets attacked 1,600 terrorist targets of Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, says the Israeli military. The U.S. sending more troops to the Mideast, says ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz in Tel Aviv.
We already have 40,000 U.S. troops in the region, including a carrier strike group at sea. But there is concern this conflict could spiral out of control, leaving tens of thousands of Americans needing evacuation, and these additional troops could help with that.
Sentenced to life in prison with no parole, the man with schizophrenia convicted today of killing 10 people at a Colorado supermarket in 2021. The man accused in the Florida golf course assassination attempt of Donald Trump left behind a note detailing his plans and a list of dates and venues where Trump was to appear, says the Justice Department. This is ABC News.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WMDX website at mad.radio.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon, hundreds more rockets were fired today. Israeli Air Force fighter jets attacked 1,600 terrorist targets of Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, says the Israeli military. The U.S. sending more troops to the Mideast, says ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz in Tel Aviv.
We already have 40,000 U.S. troops in the region, including a carrier strike group at sea. But there is concern this conflict could spiral out of control, leaving tens of thousands of Americans needing evacuation, and these additional troops could help with that.
Sentenced to life in prison with no parole, the man with schizophrenia convicted today of killing 10 people at a Colorado supermarket in 2021. The man accused in the Florida golf course assassination attempt of Donald Trump left behind a note detailing his plans and a list of dates and venues where Trump was to appear, says the Justice Department. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
At the convention, the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, which we had an incredible time meeting people, talking to people, listeners coming up and saying, hey, love the show. A couple of people said, hey, changed how we look at politics, and it's why we're in that event. Some really great interactions with folks, and I want to thank everyone for that. But today we're going to look back at some of the interviews that we didn't get to play during the convention. We have limited time, but I wanted to make sure all the voices were heard. So this week we're going to be looking back while we're at the Midwest Labor Press Association's Education Conference outside of Chicago, which I'm looking forward to greatly. But we're going to go back and we'll look at the voices and the people that attended, the leaders today of the labor movement. John Costa from the Amalgamated Transit Union going to be here to talk about transit issues, talk about why they're supporting Kamala Harris. Keith Hossifer from the Bricklayers is going to be here, going to share some thoughts on what's important to them. John Nave, the president of the Kansas AFL-CIO, will be here. And Donald Nesbitt, executive vice president at Local 372, District Council 37 of AFSCME, going to share some thoughts on the work that they do. So very labor-focused today, as was the convention. As I said, while we were there, the word union was everywhere. The idea of that we've been talking about for years on this program, finally filtering into the DNC and into the Democratic language. which is the way we reunite this country is to reunionize. The way we bring back a quality of opportunity, a quality of wages, to where we bring back some bit of balance is by reunionizing. Corporate America is doing wildly well, and yet every time you turn around, working people are tightening the belt to where they're either on the last notch or well past the last notch, having to get the hammer and the nail out to make a new hole to tighten the belt a little bit tighter. It shouldn't be that way in the wealthiest country on the planet, the wealthiest country in the history of humanity at its wealthiest point. Shouldn't be that way. We can do different things. And while we were at the convention, had a lot of those conversations around the idea of where do we want to go? And this is the positive stuff. This is the good stuff. This is what I love about politics. The discussions of what if, the discussions of how do we make lives better, the possibilities of using government in a way that makes lives better, that does the things, and you've heard me say this before, that does the things that we want done but can't do individually, so we have to do them collectively. This idea of using government to make lives better, to me, is really important. And the Democrats, quite frankly, exuded that entire, during their entire convention. Tim Walz, the walking embodiment of that. So for me, this convention, I hope, sticks. The hope is that Harris wins in November. Those ideas are not just hanging around, but are being pushed. Because in talking to my labor friends who were there, which something like 20% of the delegates in that arena were labor people. And as I've been saying for years, you want a labor party? Take one of the two over. Move them in the direction of being a labor party. And the Democrats and labor people are moving the Democratic Party in that direction. Because you know what we didn't hear anything of? We heard no neoliberalism. We heard both Obama and Clinton speak, and no neoliberal rhetoric. Nope. And when I hear that the neoliberals are upset, Rahm Emanuel, I go, good, about time. It's about time working people are at the front of the agenda, not an afterthought. And for me, that's this important moment. This is the time where, coming out of the pandemic, you have that collective anger and on both sides. And look, I think that anger should be something that unites us, not tears us apart. If you watch the RNC, if you listen to Trump's speeches, that pain, that struggle, is what he uses to divide. This idea that we have an economy that works for everyone should be something everyone wants. Now, true, if you're one of the folks at the top who, quite frankly, have done very well over the last several decades, you probably don't want that, because you're probably going to do a little less better, but maybe not a lot less. This idea that we give opportunities to others doesn't mean necessarily that we lose them for ourselves. And that's the zero-sum game that's been thrown at us. This idea that if I'm doing well and we do anything to make that guy over there's life better, somehow it's going to affect me. And they play on that, don't they? They use that to pit us against one another. Look, I want my neighbor to do well. I want my neighbor on both sides of me to do well. I want my neighbor down the street to do well. Because if he's doing well, if they're all doing well, the potential for me to do well is there also. And that's the kind of economy we should want. And elections should be one of those questions. What kind of a society do we want? What kind of an election do we want? What kind of a people do we want to be? The fact that we held a debate and there was nobody there because people haven't figured out how to behave should send a pretty loud message. Not the country I want to be part of. I want a better place. I want a place where people can disagree. I know people I disagree with all the time, and we have civil back and forth discussions. Sometimes they get a little loud, but for the most part, they're just discussions. We can and should, again, with the right leadership, move back in that direction. But again, it comes back down to, what did I just say? The right leadership. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, John Costa from the Amalgamated Transit Union, we're going to share his interview with you after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So getting here was fun, was entertaining. I love the fact that they've locked this entire half of the city down in a security fortress. Everywhere you look, gates, and the poor transportation workers just trying to get around and navigate. I give them nothing but credit for fighting through this convention, and here to share some thoughts on how we move America, how we build a transportation network that, well, will get us around from city to city and make transportation a little easier. I've asked my good friend John Costa to come sit down with us. He's the president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, ATU. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me.
So how'd you get here today?
it took a while. We took a shuttle. We went from our hotel to the Plumbers Union, from the Plumbers Union, took a shuttle here. A lot of walking, a lot of time.
Getting those 10,000 steps in, are we?
Oh, we're getting them in, yeah.
So what do you think of this? I've been saying this is the most pro-labor convention I've ever seen. As a guy who's been around a little bit, thoughts?
Look, it's my first time being here at a convention at DNC, and I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Labor is all over. Meeting with a lot of Congress and senators, and getting our message across, what we need for our members. It's given me an opportunity to do a great job on lobbying for my members that I represent. As you say, the operator's job is not what it used to be. It's a very dangerous job, and we need to not only we still got a lot of work to do. We've accomplished a lot under the Joe, and Joe delivered us some safety regs and a lot of money to keep us going, but we're still not safe. The buses still need to be redesigned. We need a better bus. We need a bus design that keeps our members safe.
Ultimately, that is your job, right? Taking care of your members, their wages, hours, and, of course, their conditions.
Yep. We're going to need operating fundings. It's going to dry up in 2025. Very important we keep the Senate. And love to flip the house if we can get all three. So I'm prepared. I know this is not an easy battle, but we're prepared to fight this, and we're all in to not only get Harris, but to keep the Senate and to flip the House.
No, it's something we desperately need as a country if we're going to move forward. If we're going to do the things we need to help us move down the road. So you were saying before we went on air that your a lot of your female members. Seem to be very energized. Having a kind of historic, having a woman on the ticket, having a black woman on the ticket, kind of a steal of Bidenism, kind of a big freaking deal.
Yeah, well, I was kind of disappointed that the FLCIO stole my line. I always said, if you want to get something done, bring a woman onto your board. So, I have some international vice presidents that are women. I have my first, the Latina woman executive vice president at the top of the ATU that just got elected at our last convention. And they're all here, and I just see them all gleaming. I mean, I have two daughters myself, so it's their moment, and I'm seeing it. I'm watching at the end of the night where I'm going, and just seeing the woman uniting and saying, "Hey, this is a great time."
Well, it's kind of a moment for them as their rights are really under attack.
Yeah,
I mean, right now, looking between the Harris Walls campaign and the Trump couch guy, there's kind of a difference, don't you think?
It's terrible what's happened here. A woman's choice is not there. I mean, some of the speakers you had here was heartfelt. yeah, it's a big difference. It's very important if we want to keep freedom. I think Harris is the way to go, especially if you're a woman, for your rights, reproductive and rights, and it's yeah. just.
Now, you talk about your daughters. I mean, I have two daughters myself. I am not someone who's pro-abortion. I've right. always said I'm pro-safety. I don't want my daughters to have to make choices that their grandmother's generation had to make. I'm not going to encourage it, but I want them to come home safe every day. And I want it safe and legal and all of that, which doesn't mean I'm in favor of it, but it means it should be safe and legal and not my choice.
Well, I believe in choice, and I, you know, like you said, it's a shame that, you know, my daughters have less rights than their mother has, you know, and growing up in my time and where they're at and where we're going if we don't make this happen. And we've already witnessed 4 years of Trump. You know, I got nothing done with him, no safety. Everything was a joke when it came to my members. Didn't think we needed anything. Labor board sucked, you know. Transportation sucked. Yeah, the administration had nobody. It was all about, nobody was listening. Nobody cared.
Right.
They didn't know what they were doing.
And this is where working people need to hear that. Mm-hmm. We need to remember. I know we forget. It's easy to have a little historical amnesia, but it's important to hear guys like you explain just how bad the Trump years were in representing workers and how badly we were getting screwed.
It's, you know, we've already saw it.
Yeah, but we've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, because I cover this stuff. You live through it. The mm-hmm. average everyday worker, they don't get behind the curtain. They're just trying to stay afloat. They're seeing those snippets on the news. Getting behind the scenes where you are, seeing how bad that was, I think that message has to get out there more than how much better it's been now.
Look, here's a guy that wants to fire strikers. You know what I mean? Like, what more do I need to say?
Yeah.
If you're a union person. He said it. You know, fire him. I've had that administration in 2019 where I had Thomas Dunn was murdered on a bus, you know, and we tried to get some recognition for safety and nothing. They were like, we don't need it. They don't see a need for it. They don't even know what's happening. So
they don't care it's happening. I'm sure they know. And this is where my problem has always been with looking to a billionaire to be our savior. Our savior isn't looking us in the mirror. It's us coming together and fighting for the country that we want. There's no savior in this.
No. No. If we have a short window here, we got to make this happen. Momentum's there. If this doesn't happen for us, you know, our members. And look, I try to vote for your job.
Right.
You know, vote for this guy is not going to do anything for us. He's not going to put operating funding in for us. He's not going to do nothing with our safety on a new bus. He doesn't care. Like you said, they don't care. It's just going to be about cutting taxes for the rich and the middle class.
Now you. I thought you were heading to the place where I think your things will go if there is a Trump administration, which means your union's going to be basically just decimated.
Yep.
They want to destroy unions entirely. Yep. They've done a great job over the last 40 years of hamstringing and attacking. I think this would be the final blow.
Yep. We will not. Under the last administration, we had the funding, the layoffs. We didn't have to worry about that. They made sure we did the right thing with the when we had COVID. They kept everybody working. My members made a lot of money. Contracts, some of the best contracts we got out of Joe Biden and his labor administration. And I'm just hoping Harris keeps that momentum going. And like I said, very important that we keep the Senate and flip the House.
Have you had talks with them, the Harris Walls people, have any of those assurances that they're going to pick up where Joe left off?
No, I'm not going to lie. I have not had the opportunity to sit down and have anything. This will all happen fast, as you know. Woke up one day and Joe decided to step down and you know, we did the early endorsement for Harris. We believe she's the best for our members. Our executive board, we met, we discussed, and they felt the same. So we went in early and we're all in.
Well, John, I appreciate you coming, sitting down with us. Thanks for the work you do, and enjoy the convention.
Thank you, Ed. Good seeing you.
You as well. Our good friend John Costa. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, we're going to rebuild this country brick by brick if we have to, and my next guest is going to make sure that they are bricks, and that they're going to be straight, not like I would do at my house, but they're going to be done by well-trained, well-paid professionals who are going to build products and infrastructure that are going to be around for generations to come. That's why I'm glad that Keith Hosover is here sitting with me. He's an executive vice president with the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Members, our BAC friends. Keith, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
So we're going to rebuild this country brick by brick, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's going to be bricks.
Yes, definitely. And that's one thing that the Biden-Harris administration's done for us is they've actually, with the amount of work from the infrastructure bills, that we're in a generational moment right now that we're not going to see this amount of work in probably another generation. So all the unions are really trying to take advantage of that, the amount of work that's going on, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, because everybody I talk to in the trades, they're humming on all levels. Whereas during the Trump years, not as much. A lot of promise of infrastructure, but not quite as much. And your apprenticeship programs are full. I know this because I'm trying to get my kid into a couple of them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, send them over to Bricklayers. We'll get you right in. We'll get you in and we'll get you to work. We have plenty of it.
No, that's a great thing. And you've got some cool toys, too. I saw at the AFL convention they got these things that you don't even pick the bricks up anymore.
Oh, well, the mule. Yeah, the mule, yeah. And then, we have alternate reality now where they're taking, and it's not virtual reality where you can actually, alternate reality, you can actually see around you. So what they're doing is taking complex architectural structures that are made out of masonry, and you can actually see the wall where you should be putting the bricks to make them arches. And, yeah, it's amazing. So even technology is getting to a one on top of two trade.
So are we concerned that, you know, the art of being a bricklayer might be compromised by this kind of technology? Or is this just another tool to help make that skill better?
Yeah, I mean, I think what it does is it allows, I mean, the craftsmanship and how material, basically when you become a journeyman is knowing material limitations. So how far can you make a brick? How can you corbel it out? How far can you go up with it before you have to do additional reinforcement? So for us, really the craft and the skill of being a bricklayer is always going to be there because that material limitations is kind of what you're looking at. I think the alternate reality is going to help us because it's going to allow us to bring some more of the artsy type of brick buildings. You go down through Chicago and you see some
amazing
work.
Stuff. Amazing. Oh, yeah. Amazing. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to walk under one of those arches built by some shoemaker who saw it in a book.
You're a smart man. You're a smart man.
Because I've been hit by bricks before. It's no fun.
Right, exactly. It is not fun. And it does hurt. It'll leave a mark, that's for sure.
So, you know, look, I've been looking around this convention, been saying that this is one of the most pro-labor conventions that I have seen. I've been talking to a lot of building trades people who I know, look, like a lot of industrial unions and a lot of building trade unions have members on both sides of the divide. Mm-hmm. You know, in looking at this, what are you taking back to them, your members, as we go towards election time? Because I believe you guys have endorsed the Harris Wall ticket,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
So going back, because you got to explain that. You got to say this is why we're leading you in this direction. What are you saying?
Well, we're telling them that, you know, basically they pay us to help make sure that our members are safe and protected, and what we do with the in terms of people that might not agree with certain campaign or policies that Trump has. You know, I mean, I think our members are getting more educated on what's best for them, because the misinformation that they get from the other side is so immense a lot of times that we trying to keep up with that.
Yeah.
It's really hard because they mention things that are just so just crazy sometimes that, you know, where do you start from? And where, I mean, you just try to cover up and try to explain what's being lied to them. I mean, really, with the amount of lies that goes on, it's tough.
Well,
to catch up.
Yeah. I think they've given you the ultimate tool. This Project 2025 is really the ultimate tool. And all you got to do is rip, I think it's page 604 out, where they want to do away with project labor agreements and prevailing wage. And I think, and I'm hoping in this moment, we start thinking about our paychecks again. We start thinking about our jobs. And if you want to talk about freedom, there's no greater freedom than having job security with decent wages, hours, and conditions.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And now unions are looked at in a different way. I mean, we are our public approval is its highest levels as it's ever been.
Right.
And so people are understanding what it's like to want to work and get respected at work and get paid a decent wage. And I think it really is, people are starting to get it. So we're optimistic.
Have you been to many? Hey, well, have you been to one of these conventions in the past?
I went to Philadelphia in 2015. It was a little bit different, but it was great.
I was there as well. It was an interesting time, but this much better, much more electric, I think.
Oh, yes, yes. And back then, you had the Hillary and Bernie, issues going on at the time. And so I think this is a more uniting type of convention than the other one was, where it was more trying to bring people back together. I think the Democratic Party is together.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, pushing forward and taking in our grassroots on the building trade side, we're going to be hitting the ground running here for the next couple months. And, you know, we're going to get members out to, you know, we're going to educate the members and we're going to get them out to vote. So
you're an Ohio guy like I am. I grew up in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You out there in Mentor. Any chance Ohio's in play?
Sherrod Brown is, when you talk about Ohio, we look at Sherrod Brown and all the great things he's done. So I think maybe Ohio, we're still going to work. We're going to work in all the states, not just the battleground states. So that's positive. But, you know, anytime you get out the voter turnout, it can be close. Ohio can be had.
Just got to do the work, right?
Oh, amen. Amen.
So leaving here after taking all this energy and excitement, where are you heading next?
Michigan. So next week I'll be going to Michigan, and the executive board for the Bricklayers Union, Tim Driscoll, Jerry Sullivan, and myself are going to be hitting the battleground states twice by one of us three within the next couple months, and we're going to get out. We're going to even go door-to-door with our members. We're going to go to job sites. We're going to talk to them and educate them about any questions that they have. We're not going to try to force-feed any kind of thing down their throats in terms of this is what you should believe. We're just going to try to put out, we have such a good base of materials to use that we can pass along to our members. I think we're confident that we can put together a really good push for this. So.
Yeah, I think Trump's comment about firing striking workers, you know, being, you know, a nice thing. I got to think that's going to play, no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the, you know, our workers are starting to realize more and more, I think, about, you know, the promises Trump made, like you mentioned earlier. Trump made a lot of promises about infrastructure, and he never came through. So when it goes back on a person of your word and trying to be your word, if we can keep on going towards that angle, I think some people's lights are going to turn on. Because, I mean, for us, we did a focus group. And we did a few different battleground state focus groups. And, you know, a lot of the members were really upset about the insurrection. You know,
you've got a lot of veterans.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that really hit a lot of people in a way that I think was, made him push away from Trump some. You
no,
know?
I mean, the building trades heavily military, heavily veterans. Okay. So I can't imagine that the comments about the Congressional Medal of Honor are going to play well with them either.
Yeah. I mean, just joking about that. Even if he wasn't serious. You know, I mean, it's something that they take very seriously. We do a lot of work with helmets to hard hats through the National Building Trades. So like you said, yeah, we have a lot of veterans that take pride in their work and their country. And, yeah, I think they're starting to see Donald Trump for what he really is.
Keith Osifer, Executive Vice President of the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. It is great to see you. Thanks for taking some time, and get out there and motivate.
We will. We will. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Keith. I appreciate the time. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back here from the UC in Chicago, the Democratic National Convention.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear this evening, increasing clouds overnight. Cool lows in the upper 40s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, highs in the low 70s. Mostly sunny Wednesday, high into the mid 70s. And sunshine continues into Thursday, highs upper 70s. Currently at 62 degrees.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Tons of glass artists.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So thrilled to talk to my next guest, who we just grabbed walking through the hall here. And you may know him as a former congressman from Ohio, true working class hero, someone I would have loved to have seen become a U.S. senator, as opposed to, well, that other guy. That's why I've asked Tim Ryan to sit down with us. Tim, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm loving life. How about you?
I got to tell you, I wish you were in the Senate.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I figure if my contribution to the world is losing the J.D. Vance so that he could be an anchor around Donald Trump's neck, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
I love your positivity. So what do you think of the event here?
Amazing. You know, it hit me earlier. I was sitting there waiting. I was doing Fox News, and I was waiting because they were playing live Donald Trump's speech in North Carolina, and it was like greatest hits, the world's going to end. Literally said World War III is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden in the background, because we were in the arena here, John Legend starts playing, like, Prince music. Like, and the whole vibe, like, changed. And I thought, boy, that's really indicative of kind of where we're at in the campaign right now. You got the greatest hits, the old curmudgeon with the young curmudgeon talking about how the world's going to literally end if they don't win their election, versus hope, joy, and kind of...
No, I asked the cab driver, can you take me to that place, that burning hellscape that is Chicago? And he, I know the cab drivers know the area, but he couldn't find it.
Couldn't find it, yeah. I mean, you know, we've got challenges like every generation, like every country, and you know, we all don't agree even within our own political parties, but, you know, we should be grateful that we're Americans. We're in a strong country with a strong military and a strong economy that's not, unfortunately, hitting everybody. And we got work to do.
Got work to do. And for me, you know, being in this hall, the first thing you see is there's a lot of labor vibes here. Everyone's using the vibe word.
Yeah.
So I'm going to jump in on a lot of labor vibes. And as I've been saying, the way we reunite this country, the way we make this a better country, is we strengthen our labor movement.
No doubt about it. And I think, you know, as we build out the country, chips and this and that, I think it's important that we get the labor engaged, in that which they are, and down the supply chains for wind and solar. Like, we want those all to be union jobs.
Absolutely.
And that's how you're going to rebuild the middle class.
And the difference here is you look at what Biden-Harris had done. You look at what Harris and Walz are saying they're going to do. And you look at Project 2025.
Yeah.
Two very, very different visions for the country. One moves us forward. One takes us back to the Gilded Age.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the contrast. And I think that's it's generational change. It's hope versus fear. And it's who's going to be for you, who's going to be for rebuilding the middle class. And they got a long record. I mean, really, literally, even like putting out an economic plan, it's like we're going to double down on what we just did. Like, you know, more infrastructure, more building, more manufacturing. Like, we have the pathway. We have the game plan.
Sure. No, I mean, you come from a place that used to be. I mean, yeah. Say what it is.
Yeah.
Youngstown used to be a steel-producing place.
Yeah.
Used to be a manufacturing hub.
Yeah.
I grew up in Cleveland. Same thing.
Right.
Used to be where the jobs were.
Right.
Sadly, that was destroyed.
Yeah.
It's the rebuilding, making those places that are going to be.
Yeah. So now we have a battery plant. Now we have the big three reinvesting into, you know, going to electric. We've got data centers that need built by union labor. We got chips that we're making. So there's a path out of this, and it's not doom and gloom and negativity. It's here's the plan, you know, and let's work the plan.
No, it's a way forward. And this is what I'm hoping comes out of this convention. It's not just about being anti-Trump, because there are a lot of reasons to be anti-Trump.
Yeah.
But it's about being aspirational, that call to higher.
Yeah.
You know, I want to leave this country to my children, and I want them to have something that comes with it.
Yeah. And you want them to be excited that you could make a change.
Right.
And if things are bad, America, because we're a democracy, we're able vote and shift public opinion and go in another direction. We're like calling audible. Like, this sucks. This is not what we want. And that's what the American people were saying when it was Trump-Biden. They wanted new candidates. And
to Biden's credit,
thanks,
man.
Thanks to Joe Biden, we got a great candidate. And now they don't. And so the release valve is open. And the energy is pouring through.
Can he get much crazier?
Oh, God.
I mean, seriously, I mean, I'm watching more and more come out of him, and it's. I know when people need to feel the need to talk, they start reaching, and it's desperate.
Yeah.
I know when I start to, when I'm looking for something to say, it seems rambling,
because
I'm grasping.
Yeah.
I think he's in that desperation kind of mode because the old hits, they're not landing.
Yeah, and I feel like he opens his head up, and like this is the conversation going on inside his head. Like, he just happens to be standing there with a microphone and cameras. Like, this is what goes through his head all day. And you got to ask yourself, like, really, is this really the best we have to offer?
Yeah.
You know, is this the best that the Republicans have to offer? And the answer is no. I mean, there's a monopoly in that party, and we all know what monopolies do. You know, they squeeze out competition, and the prices go up. And
no, without
prices
question.
Are going up with him.
But you brought up J.D. Vance and the albatross now, as you said, around his neck. I know there are two couches in the Oval Office. there's a reason.
You just went right there.
There's a reason to keep them out of there.
That would make a lot of, like, state visits very uncomfortable. A lot of big high-level meetings.
No, but my problem is that this creepy dude.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I mean, and look, the message coming out of that is his attack on the women and, you know, women who don't have children. And my wife and I were talking about this, and we're like, you know, we don't have my mother-in-law can't take a year off work to come raise our children. You know, we don't have the kind of safety net that his wealth has created for him. So this forcing people into having children, and it seems, well, it seems ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's and that's why, you know, they're weird dudes, man. Like, who do you know that you grew up with or played sports with growing up or grew up in the neighborhood that thinks that women should stay in a violent marriage or that there should be a national abortion ban with zero exceptions or that the country really needs a Caesar to come in and, like, take over the country and fix everything? Like, that's some weird shit. And it's just a bizarre worldview that I think has it's fine on a bar stool at a bar here in Chicago where guys are just BSing and talking shit, but the reality of it is this guy could be vice president to an old unhealthy guy who could be president.
Yeah, it's scary times. Now, obviously, you've been to a bunch of these conventions over the years. You're a veteran of this stuff. How's this different than 2008, or is it different?
It's different. I mean, Obama was clearly, a phenomenon too that came on, but he came on over time. This has been like a pop-up convention, let's get Kamala. Great, everyone, boom,
and because of Joe Biden, that's the case.
Yeah.
Everyone did coalesce around her because he came out and gave her a full-throated endorsement.
Yeah,
there was no ambiguity. There was no, hey, we don't know. He was very, very clear on who he was stepping aside for.
And I love the music. I love the fact that it's a really big production. And I love when the Republicans are getting mad about it, because that's when you know you're doing pretty good.
That's when you're hitting.
I remember Hubert Humphrey used to say about Kennedy, I feel like I'm running against like a huge ad agency that, is selling soap or something, like in the Mad Men 1960. And it was like, yeah, it's because you're mad because it's working. And I think they're mad because it's working.
So now in your neck of the woods, Youngstown, what's the vibe outside of here? Clearly the energy is here because the people here are excited. But when you get out into the towns, you're talking to people, you're doing all that. What kind of response do you think there you would get? And, how is this going to resonate outside of these walls?
Well, you have new people coming in. You have a super energized base of support, all those workers who work those years, whether things are good or bad. They're super energized. And what you get when you get new people coming in is you get their family and friends say to them, why are you into this? Why are you voting? And then the doors open then. Like, oh, Joe or Rick's all of a sudden knocking on doors for Kamala Harris. Like, what's going on? And so they ask, and that just opens the door. And that's how you start building that circle out and getting new rings on that circle. And that's what you're seeing. And I think you're seeing a lot of Republicans around where I live that are just saying, I can't do Trump again. I don't know if they're going to vote for Kamala, but they can't. I don't know if Ohio will even be in play from a campaign standpoint. But
I got to
hear them say
that.
It's pretty compelling.
I got to think, coming from a rural, I now live in a fairly rural area. Tim Walz plays. Oh. Come on.
Right out of Central Casting.
It's like you couldn't have created a better character.
You know what, Tim? The only thing you need to be is a 24-year member of the National Guard. I am.
and a union guy, the guy who hunts and wears flannel. All of that.
I love this new one about the IVF. And they're saying, well, his wife technically didn't get an IVF. It was a similar thing, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, this is all you got on this guy?
He's
like a dude who doesn't quite know about all the fertility, nuances. Okay, good luck with that.
Are we going to now test conservative men on women's bodies?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Is that how that's going to work?
Yeah, is that what's going on here? Okay. It's so good, though. I mean, and he's just I served in the House with him. I saw him all the time in the House gym. He's just a good guy. He's just a good human being. And that's
so is he
want.
The guy that he plays on TV?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then some.
Any insight? Any dirt?
Yeah, no. I mean, he looks terrible in shorts. I could tell you that. I saw him in the House gym.
Now you just gave them.
Needs to do a little more work on his legs.
You just gave them a reason to attack him again. No,
he's
but
good.
The reason I bring this up is because I think for a long time I've been saying Democrats are the party who, in a street fight, will offer to hold your coat.
Yeah.
I see this as a guy who's. Who's willing to stand up and fight a little bit and do it with a smile and some snark.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a good thing.
That's
I think that will attract white working class voters, especially my generation.
Well, that's how you have to make some of these progressive arguments is with no BS. Like, this is a matter of fact.
Yep.
This is not crazy. Unions are important. Government overreaching into a woman's body is too much. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, move on. Like, I think, and you obviously know this because you do it with your show, but, and I think about Big Ed Schultz, who used to be on MSNBC. When we moved him off of MSNBC, that was the beginning of us really losing a lot of those working class labor guys because he was very similar to that. And I think that's how you got to be tough. People know that you got to make tough decisions. You got to make hard decisions. You have to be tough on behalf of the nation, but you're also in tough political fights on behalf of people who need it. And so to show that edge, I think, is good.
No, I remember when I know my audience is going to be tired of me saying this, But back when the whole when they go low thing came around,
yeah,
we do what? We go yeah. high. You played football. What do you do when they go
low? Low man wins.
That's it.
Low man wins.
Low man wins. When they go for your knees, you smash their face into the ground.
You kick them in the clutch.
See, this is what I like about Tim Walz. I know Coach is going to bring that.
Coach is going to bring it. You know, I could see him throwing a garbage can across the locker room. Grabbing a guy by the face mask, getting them in order.
Well, there's a reference I haven't heard. Woody Hayes reference I haven't heard.
Woody punch in the neck, yeah. Ohio guy, what do you think?
Me too,
you
know,
that's right, Cleveland. That's right.
So last line of questioning I've got for you. You know, obviously the energy here, the volunteers, a lot of young people.
Yeah.
You know, what's the marching order from you've run campaigns from today till the election day?
Yeah, register to vote. Get your friends register to vote. You know, a lot of people still aren't 18 yet, and they'll be 18 in September, October, early November. Get them registered to vote. And then I think we've got to really blow it out on the college campuses. I mean, it can't just be we're going to do TikToks and stuff like that, which is cool and very important and puts a lot of juice into the campaign. But it's got to be an organized effort to get kids out of colleges and universities and into the voting booth.
No, and we got to get out there, and you got to do what the labor movement does best. Get out there knocking on the doors.
100%. And I mean, I'm so jazzed about labor and the renaissance, almost the comeback of organized labor. I mean, I love – and Trump was complaining about the – head of the UAW union today. If they're complaining about you, that's good, right?
That's
they're going into the South trying to organize auto workers. God bless, man. This is like exactly what the country needs.
I love Sean Fain.
Yeah, yeah. Great dude.
I wish my Teamsters union had a shirt like that. UAW, Trump is a scab. Sure, I wish I could get one.
Every union should have that.
Tim Ryan, I appreciate the time.
Great to be with you, Rick.
Good stuff. Former Congressman Tim Ryan. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back here from the UC in Chicago.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back here to the UC, the United Center in Chicago. I'm sitting here with Tavis Smiley. It's not often you get to run into people that you admire, but Tavis Smiley, one of those guys I've loved on TV, on radio, all across media. The hero. How are you, man?
Man, if I complained, I'd be an ingrate. I'm delighted to be on your program, Rick Smith. And I, with a name like Tavis Smiley, I've been called everything but a child of God at times. Travis, Tavis. I wish I had a name like Rick Smith. You can't mess that up, Rick. You can't mess that up, man.
And look, I am someone who's terrible with names.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible because it's so simple.
Yeah, it is. I love it, man. I love it.
So what do you think of this this little shindig?
It's been an amazing week. I've covered a number of these, of course, over the course of my career. The energy, the enthusiasm, the euphoria, hard to deny that. And yet, I'm not naive, and neither are you, Rick. This is going to tighten up. We're inside the bubble right now, and this bubble will burst later tonight. And tomorrow, we step back out into the real world. Reality sets in. I predict that Kamala, this ain't a bold prediction. I expect she'll get a bump out of this convention. I expect in the days ahead she may even move a little bit further ahead of Donald Trump in the polls. But it ain't over until the fat lady sings, as somebody once said. And between now and November, this race is going to tighten.
Yeah.
Who knows where we're going to be in November? My sense is, Rick, that she will crush him with the popular vote, but that don't mean nothing in a democracy. You need the Electoral College. And I still, in some ways, think this race may be his to lose. Now, my view is, at the moment, he's losing it every day.
Oh, yeah. The more he opens his mouth.
That's exactly right.
You know, what? Because I keep going, you know, does he not listen to his advisors? At some point, you don't attack Congressional of Honor Medal of Honor winners.
Yeah. No, I think the answer to that question is pretty obvious to me, at least. He's never listened to his advisors. And when he does, he can only stay there for so long. He strays from the advice he was given. You look at his speech at the RNC in Milwaukee. He started out that night, you know, pretty good, talking about the assassination attempt, what it meant to him. There was a moment for him, that was a moment for him to connect with the humanity and all the rest of us. And, 15, 20 minutes in, the guy goes off the rails. He's 2 hours later, he's still talking, essentially. So he just can't husband himself. He can't contain himself. He just can't manage himself. Dude's got out-of-control proclivities. And so I don't think he listens to his advisors, but that notwithstanding, this race is going to get tight between now and November, so it ain't a foregone conclusion.
It shouldn't be, because you look at the realities. Never in my lifetime have we seen two candidates or two tickets that are so far apart.
Right.
The gulf between them is incredible, especially since, you know, the Heritage Foundation has done us all the wonderful service of writing down all of the bad ideas that Trump will want to move on.
That's right, the Project 2025. It's scary. It's scary. I was talking to Ben Jealous, who's head of the Sierra Club. First African American brother to be head of the notable Sierra Club, noted Sierra Club, and we were talking about the fact that there was a tape that leaked a couple weeks ago. You may have seen this, a tape, Rick, that leaked a couple of weeks ago of a Republican operative who worked in the Trump administration, who said that part of their plan, part of their goal, connected to Project 2025, if Trump wins, is to erase, to wipe out any reference to climate change in any federal documentation. I mean, you can't put your head in the sand and act like climate change doesn't exist, even if you wipe it out in documentation. But just imagine that we would have an administration on the issue of climate, just that one issue, that wants to just wipe it out. You take out the old whiteout stuff. You want to white it out as if it doesn't exist.
Right.
But that's what we're up against. So if Trump wins and they have a chance to run their playbook, Project 2025, we are in trouble. And here's the thing that scares me about how much more dangerous this race is going to become, how much uglier and vitriolic it's going to get. Kamala Harris loses this race, Rick. She comes back home to California where I live. She'll make a bunch of money doing whatever she does, right? Donald Trump loses this. He's going to prison. So there's a level of desperation that he has.
Do you think he'll really go to prison?
Oh, I think that the powers that be would love to see nothing more. Now, I take your point, Rick. It would be unprecedented for him to spend even a night in prison. But I think that the die is cast on this. Somebody wants to be that somebody.
Yeah.
Who sent him to prison?
I think he gets a house arrest at the most.
Yeah.
There's no way he's at Rikers.
Yeah, you may be right about that. But my point is that whether it's literally behind prison bars or not, he loses this. He's going to serve some time somewhere.
And that's the hope.
And that's exactly.
Because look, the reality is, do we want to repeal the 20th century?
Exactly.
This is the central question of this election.
That's right.
Do we believe in democracy? Do we want to repeal the 20th century?
Yep.
Now look, I have a lot of red hat friends who are okay with the idea of returning to the good old days of the Gilded Age when women were back in the kitchen, gays were back in the closets, and minorities were back in the fields. Mm-hmm. That's a dream world, and Project 2025 kind of, as I'm reading it, lays it out. So do you think that people are waking up to that? Do they realize that? Or is this just more politicking?
I don't think they've awakened to it as yet. Again, you do this every day, and you do it quite well, and I attempt to do this every day myself. But the majority of the country isn't yet checked in the way that we are. But as you also know, every 4 years we have this sprint from Labor Day till Election Day. And in that 8-week period, people do tap in. They do tune in. And of course, we got this first debate coming up on September the 10th. So I don't think that everyday people are tapped in now as we are, Rick. But that day is fast coming when people will be tapped in, and we will see if the Democrats can be on message in getting people to understand what would in fact happen if Project 25 can be advanced under a new Trump administration.
Yeah, what does this convention mean to the minority community? I mean, you had Barack Obama here. I had Michelle Obama here giving big speeches. But you got Kamala Harris, historically the first woman to run for president, the first black woman to run for president. This is, to steal a Bidenism, kind of a big freaking deal.
Yeah, other black women have run for president, but she's the first to get this far. Obviously, it was Shirley Chisholm, of course, if you recall.
Right.
So Shirley Chisholm ran, and even Carol Moseley Braun, former senator from Illinois, ran. Others have run, but nobody, to your point, Rick, I take it, had the success that Kamala had and it will have tonight when she gives her official speech accepting this nomination. But it means a great deal. I love your question. It means a great deal to our community because black people have been so disenfranchised politically, economically, socially, and culturally for so long. These victories don't come easy for us. My friend Jesse Jackson, who I saw earlier this week, who was here at in the hall on Monday night, Jesse said many years ago, Rick, that Jackie Roosevelt Robinson wasn't the first black guy who could play Major League Baseball with the white guys. He was the first one who had the opportunity to play Major League Baseball with the white guys, and he acquitted himself quite nicely. So that for so many in my community who've been talented and gifted beyond measure over many centuries, but never had the opportunity to step forward in the way that Kamala has. Kamala stands tonight on the shoulders of a lot of great people, black men and black women, many of whose names we'll never know, but who sacrificed and served and loved and bled and died for me to be on TV and radio every day, for her to be the Democratic nominee for president. So she stands on shoulders tonight, and I am certain she's going to acknowledge those shoulders she stands on tonight. It's a historic moment. Barack Obama, of course, the first, but she's a little bit different. The other thing is, Rick, that she connects to the black community in a different way than Barack Obama. Obama had all of us line up behind him, no question about it. After, I remind my black friends, the good white folk in Iowa gave us permission to do so. He wins Iowa first. Black people at that time were still supporting Hillary Clinton 2 or 3 to 1. When he wins Iowa, then we look at this brother. We all line up behind him. And the story, as they say, the rest of the story is history. But Kamala Harris connects Rick in a different way. She has been a member of a black church, a Baptist church, for many years. She got the church tradition. She went to an HBCU, a black college, as you know, Howard University. She has that connection. And she's a member of a black sorority, a.k.a. we call it the Divine Nine. There are nine noted black fraternities and sororities. I'm a member of one of those fraternities, Kappa Alpha Psi. So she's part of the Divine Nine, as we call it. So she connects in that triangle, the black church, black college, and a.k.a. sorority. She connects in a way that Barack Obama never could and never did. So beyond her just being the first African-American woman, there are all these other connections that so many people in the community across the country feel in relationship to her around. So it's a big, no question about it, a big night for black America. And yet I close on this note. I remind my friends all the time, Rick and black America, that we cannot be seduced. We can be supportive, but we cannot be seduced by the notion of black faces in high places. We still have to hold Kamala Harris accountable. She's black, but not unlike Barack. If she wins, she will still be the head of the American empire. And that alone means that you have to have a critique.
There you go. Tavis Smiley, great seeing you. I appreciate you taking time
for us. My pleasure,
Love
Rick
your
Smith.
Thoughts.
Appreciate you, man.
Let's take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rick Smith Show. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Rick Smith Show, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find all that and much more at TheRickSmithShow.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I want to finish up today's program with an email from Janice, who thanked me for talking about my experience as a kid in the school lunch line. And she shared a very long, way too long to go through here, email about her experience. And again, the separate line, the separate kind of food that was served during lunch during her school years, and that feeling of being, well, less than. And to me, this is why I think what Tim Walz did in Minnesota is so important. Everyone gets school lunch. Everyone should get breakfast in the morning. We should make sure that kids are fed. It's the least that we can do. But I wanted to thank. I wanted to point that out because on Monday we talked to a cafeteria worker. And the president of his local about the lunch programs that they had and how, the workers there were, essential and all that, and how now we're just kind of doing away with it. So to have that story Thank you. I appreciate it. It makes me feel like I wasn't alone. But if you've got thoughts, I want to hear it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@thericksmithshow.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.